boxing is an unnatural act. Because everything in it is backwards. You want to move to the left. You don't step left. You push on the right toe. To move right, you use your left toe. Instead of running from the pain, like a sane person would do, you step into it.
Darkest of night, with the moon shining bright, there's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long. Oh, super fly.
Check it. 12 and a half, make it 13 minutes past the hour. You are tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. My next guest hopes to be the superfly of the heavyweight division. From the city of brotherly love, I'm talking about Brian Jennings. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you, my brother?
I'm good. Doing well. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you, man. So are you living in Philly right now? Are you training in Philly? What's going on? What's your life like?
Yeah, I live in Philly, training in Philly. And soon when that next fight did get finalized, then I'll have to switch and figure out where we're gonna be doing our training at.
Okay, I remember Philadelphia from the Benny Briscoe days. I'm an old guy. Benny Briscoe days, Hagler would come into town, Bobby Boogaloo Watts, guys like that. I mean, there were some killers out of Philadelphia, and they had these monstrous gym wars. Meldrick Taylor was in gym wars all the time. Are they still having gym wars? I mean, they used to kill each other in the gyms in Philadelphia.
Nah, man. It's not many gym wars left in Philadelphia.
Okay.
I think everybody's, forgetting the real purpose of the sport and, the competitiveness. It has become more of a business than the sport. It's not equally distributed no more. It's more of a business.
So it being more of a business, I remember when Las Vegas used to be run by the mob. I enjoyed it when it was run by the mob. Now it's a corporate entity, and I really don't enjoy Las Vegas all that much. But now that it's more business than it is sport, how do you look at it? How do you deal with it? You're undefeated, 17-0, 9 KOs. You're ranked in the top 5 by everybody. I mean, how do you look at this if it's not a sport? Is it just a business?
Well, I feel as though I'm good at both. But I gotta remember, what the sport is, and I can't look past it, because what people don't understand, the better you are in the sport, the better you will be for business. But some people just put business before the sport, to a point to where it's like, all right, you're looking for the money, but you're not perfecting your craft. So it shows in a lot of these guys' performances. The way they're like, look, you're not perfecting your craft, but you're still on this certain type of level of business. And it's like a lot of these guys, they just want to come in and just get the check. They don't want to really fight. They don't really want to fight it, giving up fights, and they're taking away from the sport.
Okay. Undefeated heavyweight sensation Brian Bye-Bye Jennings on the line from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. And, Brian, I tell you, I used to train. I won 4 Golden Gloves, won the United States PAL title back about a long, long time ago. Anyway, but the bottom line was when I went to the gym, I loosened up for like 3 or 4 rounds, then I shadow boxed for 3 or 4 rounds, then I hit the bag for 3 or 4 rounds, then I would spar for 6 rounds, then would jump rope or hit the bag some more after the sparring. I go to the gym nowadays, and guys are in and out of there in less than an hour. They're done.
It's real different. I've only been, January, I make 5 whole years of me boxing.
Okay.
So, I haven't really experienced, too much, but I've seen people do that. They come in and they just give it a good hour, give a couple rounds in the bag, and then that's it. They don't do nothing extra. And I mean, I got common sense, and I can tell that that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way it used to be. And I don't think the past champions or the past legendary boxers trained that way.
I watch guys like Eddie Machen, who fought Sonny Liston, and I watch Liston train out here in San Francisco, and I watch Cassius Clay, then Muhammad Ali, train out here in San Francisco. So I watch some great fighters train, got to train with Roberto Duran, Wilfred Benitez, people like that. So I saw how the great fighters, how they trained and how they prepared, okay? They went the extra 10 yards, not the extra yard, the extra 10 yards. They got it done. They made sure they were in condition. Even Duran, when he was old and he was in shape, was formidable. I'm saying, but when they knew they had something on the line, they put it all together.
Yeah.
Okay. Brian Jennings, our guest, so bye-bye. How'd you get the nickname bye-bye?
Well, coming up, you know, since I was around 14, everybody called me B.Y. B.Y. stood for Big Young Boy.
Okay.
Because I was 6'3", 230 pounds at about 14, 15 years old. So, you know, I was much bigger than everybody, but I was much, you know, I was much younger. So that's what the name B.Y. stood for. Now, when I started boxing, you know, my trainer, Fred Jenkins, we came up with the name, you know, for Baba, but the way it's spelled became different because okay. He dropped the E.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, you know, I think it started out to be a mistake, but I turned the mistake around and made sense of it.
Well, you know,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's why it's Baba without the E.
There's a fighter named Johnny Gonzalez. He's a fighter about a featherweight, and he spelled his name J-O-N-H-N-N-Y. In other words, the H is in front of the N, is backwards, blah, blah, blah. So I always say his parents had a problem spelling at birth, right? Well, actually, the hospital made a mistake, and they decided not to change it. But straight up, we're talking with Brian Jennings, folks. Brian, when's your next go? When are you fighting again?
We're looking at January 18th on the Lucien Bute and John Pascal card in Montreal, Canada.
Okay. So talk to me about the heavyweight division. I'm looking through it here. I'm looking at Vladimir Klitschko and Kubrat Pulev, the guy from Bulgaria. What do you think of Tyson Fury? Is Tyson Fury got a glass jaw?
Tyson Fury, he's kind of like one of the best we got. So, I mean, degrading some of the best we got is kind of like, you know, degrading the sport, and I'm trying to save it.
I'm not trying to get you to knock him. I just asked you.
No. Okay. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Okay.
You know, he's considered an enemy of mine, so I can see as many bad things as I can about him because he's a future opponent of mine. But, you know, speaking for the sport, I mean, he's about all we got.
I'd love to fight a big dude like that with a soft head. You know that, or a soft chin. I mean, I would love to. People laugh, but with these big guys that can't take a shot, if you hit them like in the head anywhere, like they're all over the place. David Price, Tyson Fury. I can go on and on, man. Some other guy, Mike Hales or something like that. That's his alias, but he was some 6'8" heavyweight. He just got drilled with a bad chin about 2 weeks ago on European television. So some of these guys are 6'7", 6'8". They got all the size, but I guess they've never been hit.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And that's why I like to fight bigger guys. I like to fight taller guys because taller guys, they're not as athletic. And I just may be I am the most athletic heavyweight, you know, that you have around. And I have a lot of attributes, and I have a lot of movement, and I got a lot of, you know, strengths. And a lot of their weaknesses, them guys, them big guys, they can't move as fast, and then they can't take the punch. So when they talk about, you know, how they say, oh, I'm a small heavyweight, I'm 6'3", and, you know, 225 pounds, and, oh, that's small. I'm just like, nah, that's the right size, you know, for a heavyweight. And them big guys can't take them punches, and they just get overpowered. I don't know what it is. I think it's something with their brain or something. I think they... You know, big dummies.
Why is it when these guys fight these business? Here's what's up. When you fight a guy that's maybe got height or reach on you, this and that, you got to do things to make it happen for you. In other words, you got to hit him in the hips. You got to hit him in the body. You got to hit him on the arms. You know, you got to mess up his rhythm. You got to miss his big. You got to discombobulate them a little bit. Even if you can't hit him in the head, hit him with something. Some of these guys just sit there and pose in front of these. Just sit there and pose like standing up punching bags.
Yeah, just like that, Mike Perez and that Magomed, fight. That fight, the smarter fighter could have easily won that fight. I mean, they just stood there and, you know, I was like, y'all ain't no head movement, no movement, no defense. No, I mean, it's just like, yo, rock 'em, sock 'em, robot. What's going on? Like,
yeah, but
I get it.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, Bryant, listen, the guy's jaw, he had jaw problems in the first round. You saw him moving his jaw and holding his jaw, so he had a broken jaw, a broken nose, and a broken hand, and that corner kept sending him out for a whooping round after round. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that corner, listen, if he died, they should be charged with negligent homicide for sending him out. Benji Estevez, my good friend, was a referee. He didn't take care of business that night. He failed. He failed that young man. The doctor, the ring doctor failed him, and his corner failed him. All three things put in place to save him, to help him. All three of them failed.
Yeah.
You know, and that's ugly. I mean, they tell me that the guy's going to live and everything now, but he had a stroke during surgery, during brain surgery. That don't sound like to me like he's going to be okay, because I don't know if you know who Gerald McClellan is. Gerald McClellan was a world super middleweight champion, a cronk fighter out of Detroit, and he went over to fight Nigel Benn. He knocked Nigel Benn out of the ring in 1995, knocked him out of the ring. It took him about 30 seconds to get Nigel Benn back in the ring, so he should have been a knockout win for the first round for Gerald McClellan, okay? Instead, they went like 10 more rounds, and Gerald, who had struggled to make the weight, got hit in the head a few times, and boom, he went into a coma. And when he finally came out, I saw him maybe 10 years ago at a fundraiser we did for him in Rockport, Illinois, Jerry Cooney and myself, and he's in a wheelchair. He can't talk. He can't, you know, he can't see. You know what I'm saying? People don't realize this guy, Mago, he's probably going to need 24-hour care for the rest of his life. Who's going to pay for that, Bryant?
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to pay for that? That's why we need a federal boxing commission, man. We need a federal boxing commission. We need insurance policies put in place so these guys are taken care of, because they tell me his family's going to have to foot this medical bill.
Yeah, they had to come up with a little funding, you know, to help him pay. I mean, because he only got paid $40,000 for that fight, which I think was, you know, kind of, you know, super low.
Well, considering it was an HBO, you know, opener, I think that you're right. Speaking of HBO and Showtime, do you have a preference on what network you're on?
HBO.
You want to be with HBO, huh?
Yeah. HBO. We got a good relationship, and my manager, you know, Jay Prince. And, you know, my promoter, Gary Shaw, you know, we all in unison with this. So
I remember Prince back in the days of Rap-A-Lot Records. That's what he started, yeah. Rap-A-Lot Records. He made a fistful of money. He made like 10 armored cars, man, working out of Houston. I think it was the Fourth Ward, I think. But he's a smart businessman and a good manager. I think you're in good hands there, son.
Yeah, it's the Fifth Ward. Yeah, he got a lot of discipline. He got a lot of rules. And you know, that's what you need. You know, that's how I operate. You know, we click because he operates, you know, very similar to the way I operate, and we relate to a lot of the same things, and that's the reason why we click so well. So,
well, Brian, I want to thank you for the time today, man. This is your Ring Talk debut. I want you to come back and spend some time with me as we play the Sound of Philadelphia going out of here, man, because you are the man from Philly, Brian Jennings, undefeated heavyweight sensation. Best of luck to you, man. Hopefully we'll talk before January 18th.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
All the best. Bryant Jennings, folks. Undefeated heavyweight sensation. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.